Kentuckery. The main outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife, and the woods are just outside your doorway. So get outside and find it in the main outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the main outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio. To the main outdoors.
Welcome to the main outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
Hello there. Welcome to Maine Outdoors, Maine's longest running, most enduring outdoor talk radio program. And by the way, I was doing show prep this afternoon, Bob, and I always put the date, you know, at the top of the show prep.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't believe it. August 18th is like...
We're rolling right along, isn't it?
I mean, summer's almost... I hate to say that.
Yeah,
I don't
want
to get you depressed, but it's almost gone.
That's exactly right.
Where does it go, Bob?
It'll be bird season before we know it.
I know
That's
it.
Right.
Unbelievable. Anyway, that we shouldn't start the show on such a note. But anyway, we welcome you to our show, and we have an exciting program lined up tonight. It'll be very informative, I promise you that. And our guest tonight, I'll introduce her in just a moment. But first, the crew who make this show possible week after week. Tonight, in the left seat, the man behind the controls, Sky King himself, Scotty Bates. Take a bow, Scotty.
Yes, good evening, Paul, and good evening, everybody out there.
And with him, to his right, is the sage of Grand Lake Stream, my friend Norman Plord.
Good evening, everybody, and for all those bear hunters out there, it's time to clean the guns and get the camo out. And
that's right. When does it actually start?
A week from tomorrow.
Hard to believe, a week tomorrow.
I know it.
And good luck to all you bear hunters. And without further ado, my esteemed co-host, he's a registered Maine guide. He's written some fabulous fishing books, my friend Bob Lehman.
I appreciate it, sir. Maybe we can get this little girl here to say something here tonight.
Yeah, and for you folks at home who don't have the TV turned on, with Bob in his lap is his mascot, Precious.
Yes. She's a sweetie. You want to say something?
Say something.
Say a couple words? No, I guess not.
No, I guess not.
You like my nose.
Yeah. And what kind of a dog is she, Bob?
That's a good question, isn't it?
Shih Tzu.
Well, I guess she's mostly Shih Tzu, yes.
All right. Yeah. She's a sweetheart. Yeah. And also, speaking of sweethearts, my wife, Diane, of almost 55 years, is with us tonight. Diane, welcome to our show. Nice to have you here, and I appreciate you driving, my dear.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. Okay, our guest tonight. Now, strap yourself in. We have an exciting guest tonight who's going to answer, I hope, a lot of questions for us tonight. She's the new commissioner of the Maine Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife. As a matter of fact, the first woman ever in history to head up the Maine Department of Fish and Wildlife. Commissioner Judy Camuso will be our guest right after the trivia question around 7:15, 7:17. So get your questions ready for Judy. If you have any question you want to put to her about the Department of Fish and Wildlife, it may have to do with fishing, may have to do with wildlife management, may have to do with hunting regulations, whatever you have on your mind tonight, Judy has agreed to be on our program by telephone from her home, and she's really busy, but we appreciate her taking the time, and we'll hook up with her by phone in just a few minutes. Right now, though, it is time for Outdoor Digest, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal and Maine Outdoor Publications. A couple of quick reminders. The September issue of the Northwood Sporting Journal will come out on the newsstands the end of this week. I think it'll be Thursday or Friday of this week. So be looking for it. There's a handsome bull moose on the cover and some great stories as usual. The cover story is about an interesting issue that I got involved in called Shot Placement When You're Hunting Moose. And in fact, we have a trivia question directed to that tonight, so stay tuned for that. Let's see, Old Town Trading Post. And Bob and I want to remind you, the Old Town Trading Post, one of our key sponsors here on the show, is sponsoring a Customer Appreciation Day, as they do every year. And get your calendar out, folks. Mark this on your calendar. You don't want to miss this. Saturday, September 14th, and the show starts at, it starts in the morning, and it goes all day, and Bob and I will be there with our books, chance to shake hands and say hello. We always look forward to that.
Oh, yeah, we sure do.
And also with us will be Ken Winters, who's an African big game hunter. who we had on the show about a month ago. He's got a great new book out. He'll be there to sign his book. And along with us, they'll have free seminars going on throughout the day. Randy McEwen's going to be there to talk about GPS basics, fly tying demos by Ron McCusick. You must know Ron.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, sure.
Yeah, he's one of your brother tires. Ray Dion will be there to talk about training rabbit dogs. And Lee Cantor, the moose biologist, will be on hand to talk about processing your moose, which should be very informative. And then, of course, Randy McEwen also has an advanced course later in the day on how to operate a GPS. Discounts and deals, giveaways and raffles, free burgers, free hot dogs.
Oh, boy.
That's quite a deal.
Oh, man, I should say, huh?
So anyway, I'm pumped up. I'm excited. Yeah. Bob is as well. Yeah. We hope to see you there. We'll be reminding you again before that date. But again, put it in your calendar because we all get busy this time of year. Saturday, September 14th. Going on all day at the Old Town Trading Post. And I think, Scotty Bates, you've got a hoedown to
talk
about.
Yes, I do. Yes, we got coming up this week. It'll be probably the premier bluegrass festival in the state of Maine, in my opinion.
All right.
It's the 53rd Blistered Fingers Bluegrass Festival. It's in Litchfield, starting this Thursday through Sunday. They've got a whole list of great bands, Gibson Brother, Lonesome River Band, Junior Sick, the Poor Boys, and many, many more, and some great field picking, and the campers, there's all kinds of campers there, so it's a good time, I guarantee, be had by all.
Is Jimmy Layton going to be there?
Oh, yes, I'm sure he will be. He's not here tonight, but he will be. So that's just coming Thursday through Sunday at the Litchfield Fairgrounds.
That's this Thursday?
This Thursday, the 23rd through the 25th.
Coming right up,
Okay, yes. Sounds good. Oh, speaking of program notes, I also want to, before I forget to remind you, that we're going to, next week on the show, we're going to have Louis Gagnon, the Champion Muscolaire.
what was that again?
That's pretty good.
Louis Gagnon, the Champion Muscolaire, will be here. And Norm, you speak a little French, right?
A little bit.
How do you say that in St. John Valley French, the Champion Muscolaire?
Le champion, une personne qui est un champion qui appelle les dernières.
Oh, that's much better.
Oh, I love it when you talk French.
I had to figure that one out. I haven't said that in ages.
Yeah, so can you do that one more time?
C'est un champion qui appelle des arnials.
All right. Actually, I fibbed a little bit. We do have a champion muscolaire, but his name is not Louis Gagnon. His name is, where is it? Jake Carvel.
Yeah.
Jake Carvel. Now, is that French? Jake Carvel? I'm not sure. Anyway, he's a champion muscolaire, and he will be here on our show tonight. And we look forward to having him here next week, here right on the
next
show.
Next week, yeah.
And I think with that, I think it's time to get the band out.
And yes.
I'm the big boss, Bass.
Yeah.
And you work for me.
Yeah.
This is my rock.
Yeah.
These are my reeds.
Yeah. All right, what's going on in the fishing world, Bob?
Yes, well, you know, young Eben Thomas. You know Eben, don't you?
Yes, I do.
You certainly know his father, Scotty Thomas.
I sure do.
And I talked to Scott Thomas this morning. He's a doctor, you know, at St. Joe's.
Right.
And he said Eben went to, where did he go?
Tennessee.
I was trying to think of the town, but he had this tournament, an international youth bass tournament in Tennessee just recently. And out of 200 entries competing, Eben came in, guess where? Not one, not two, but 45th. Not bad. 200 entries from all over the country.
That's good.
And he hasn't been at it.
That is damn good.
He hasn't been at it too many years either, so that's actually really good.
Yeah, good for him.
According to his dad, he was he saw all kinds of carp and snakes and all kind, and the water was all muddied up, you know, but from carp. The mess is, you know, and guess what the water temperature was?
Oh, 90
Tennessee.
Degrees.
Yes, 91. Can you imagine fishing in 91 degree 91. Water?
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, fun, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you fell in, it wouldn't be too bad, would it?
You know, I used to fish, Diane will vouch for this, I used to fish the creeks down in Virginia when I was stationed down there in the Navy, and it was common, you tie an aluminum boat up to the shore, and it's common to have these water moccasins swimming around trying to get up into your boat. Shimmy. They try to shimmy up the side of these aluminum boats, and common down there for fishermen to carry a little.
Yeah, that's what his father said. His father said there was a water moccasin swimming around there. Yeah. He had a picture of one.
Oh yeah, it's not peaceful having those snakes all around.
Well, it was interesting that he caught a massive fish down there, and it was well over 4 feet long. And his dad showed me a picture of it, and guess what it was?
Catfish.
Well, that's a good question, Paul. Oh. They grow pretty big down there, but this is longer and bigger.
Carp?
No, carp don't grow quite that big. Actually, it was an alligator gar.
Okay.
Can
you imagine hauling one of them into the boat?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if it was an alligator gar, but it was a gar, and he said something about being a long-nosed gar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that? And guess what that thing hit?
Let me guess. It was a rappeller?
No. No? Daredevil. Well, that's close.
No. Was it a barn special?
No. It wasn't a Lima special either.
Was it a daredevil?
No. Afraid not. How about an imitation thing?
Oh, not a daredevil. Oh,
imitation worm.
Oh, a crawler.
Yeah, imitation crawler. I don't know what color it was, but that's what that thing hit. Yeah. Can you imagine that?
I get Jim Layton all excited.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Congratulations to him.
Yes, that's right.
And you're not fishing.
Had a good time. Somebody else. I think they had two contestants from Maine, and somebody else was in the tournament, and they didn't get anywhere near what he got. So they were way down the list. So whoever it was, he didn't tell me. But 45th is not bad.
No, that's very good.
Yeah, I guess Evan is somewhere around late teens.
Yeah, good for
and
him.
It's quite an honor.
Yeah, about 17, probably, I think.
Yeah.
17?
Right around there, 16,
yeah.
17.
Yeah. He's a big boy. Hey, he's bigger than his father's already. He's about probably 6'1 now, isn't he? Mm-hmm. He's a big boy.
I can see your lips moving, Diane, but I can't hear you.
What's just something what? Here?
What?
Number two on your list?
Yes, thank you. I forgot to mention, you remember last week I steered everybody in the wrong direction on the crossbow law, and I said you could hunt with crossbows now during the archery season this fall, and I was mistaken. You can't hunt with a crossbow if you're younger than 65 during the October archery season until 2020. So that's a year from this fall. So don't get out there with a crossbow if you're under 65 and get summons and then blame it on me. All right? Remember, crossbows, archery season, but not until 2020 if you're 65 or younger. If you're 65 or older, like Bob and I or Diane or... even Scotty Bates.
Right.
Well, excuse me, Diane.
We are old enough to hunt with a crossbow during the archery season. Norm Plord, he may have a year or two to go. I'm not sure about that.
1 month.
Oh, 1 month.
Really?
Yeah. He's still a youngster here.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Okay, that's the word, and is that to take care of your fishing
that
report?
It certainly does for tonight, yep.
Thank you, sir. And that wraps up Outdoor Digest, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal. Our guest again, if you just joined us, is the Commissioner of the Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife, Judy Camuso, who will be with us by telephone right after the trivia question. And I'm going to give away a subscription to the Northwood Journal tonight worth $30 if you have an answer to Bob's trivia question.
Yes, and the question tonight is, what is the most common recommendation for proper shot placement on a moose?
Okay, 1-800-966-1039. And like my favorite DJ says, don't nobody go nowhere. We'll be right back. Okay, we'll hook up with the commissioner here in just a moment. First, we want to dispose of this trivia question. And as Bob asked you, he wants you to answer the question, among Maine moose guides, what is the most common recommendation for proper shot placement on a moose? We have a caller, do we?
Yes, we have Jared.
Okay, Jared, you're on Maine Outdoors.
Hello, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good.
All right, what do you think the answer is, Jared?
I'm going to guess when you shoot a moose, then you should aim right for the shoulder in the front.
For the shoulder.
Close.
Okay, that's pretty close. Yeah. Boy, this is...
Do I have a second try?
What's your second try?
What about the front leg?
The front leg.
That's awful close, but it's a little higher than the front leg.
Yeah, I think we're going to play hardball with you tonight, Jared. I think we're not going to give you the answer to that, okay?
Okay.
You were very close, and we appreciate you listening.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Jared. Okay, let's take another call.
Yeah, we have Tom.
Okay, Tom, you're in Maine Outdoors.
Yes. I think I'd shoot him just down about 6 inches on the hump.
6 inches below the hump?
No, on the hump.
On the hump?
on, yeah, just come down from the top, about yeah. 6 or 8 inches.
Well, that's not the answer. This is based on a survey that I did of about a dozen Maine moose guides, and that's not the answer. It really isn't. We appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
You can't expect much from those Maine guides anyway.
There you go. Right.
Well, you got to start somewhere, and we're gonna go with them. All right. Appreciate the call. Okay. I thought this would be easy. Good evening. Can we have another caller, Norm? Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors, and we're looking
right up.
Okay, we're looking for an answer to the trivia question. Bob wants to know what's the most common recommendation for proper shot placement on a bull moose.
Yes, are you talking to me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, if you draw a horizontal line across from the top of the leg, the front leg, and you lift up about 6 inches and about 3 inches to the rear. If you're looking at it from left to right, that would be the place to shot the place to put the shot.
All right, and where do you want that shot to go?
I would like it to go about 6 inches above a horizontal line from the front shoulder.
What's located on the animal at that area?
But what's it going to be hitting?
Yeah, what do you want it to hit?
Oh, I want to hit the heart and
that's
four
it.
Lungs.
You just won.
Well, there we go. Boy,
yeah, that's a tough one.
I never thought we could. That's the right answer. Very good.
Good.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's the lungs and the heart and lung area, they call it, the vitals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Correct.
What's your first name?
My name is Tim.
Tim. You know, it's interesting, Tim, because I did a lot of reading on this because I got curious, as I always do, and a really respected moose guide, Bob Kelso, forgotten his first name, from Aroostook County, wrote a book. And in his book, he strongly, adamantly insists that the best shot you can make on a moose is what he calls the collar shot, which is the neck shot. And he has some good arguments. But I ran that by a lot of moose guides today, and they say absolutely not, that it's too risky. There was just no disagreement. All of the moose guides I talked with said, go for the vitals.
Where did you shoot your moose?
In the lungs. I shot it in the lungs as well as
Diane.
I did too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Diane
yeah.
did as
yeah.
well.
Right in the heart and the lungs.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's also...
Down.
Are you still there, Tim?
Yes, I am. Yes.
There's also a school of thought that says, as that first caller indicated, to shoot for the hump. And everybody that I talked with said absolutely not.
I agree. You're correct. That's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, congratulations to you, Tim. You've won the subscription to the journal. And
thank you very much.
Nice to have you in the journal family. And if you'll stay on the line, Norm Plord, the Champion Moose Caller, will take your address.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Yep.
Bye-bye.
Okay. That's the correct answer. Lungs and heart area. If you're going to do a shot placement on a moose.
And I liked the inches. He gave us the inches.
That got really technical didn't it? Yeah. But anyway, we finally extracted the right answer, and that's good. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're waiting to get hooked up with Judy Camuso, the Department of Fish and Wildlife Commissioner, and I think Norm is dialing her number as we speak, right, Scotty?
Yes, yeah. Get her shortly.
Okay. And we have a bunch of prepared questions we want to ask Judy. I gave her a little bit of advance notice, but not on everything. And we want to talk about a whole bunch of areas. We talk about deer yard protection, coyote predator control, goals for the year and the decade, the land access issues, and a lot of other things. And Bob and Diane may have questions for Judy, and we'll get hooked up with her here in just a second. And if you have a question for Judy, what's the number that they can call, Bob?
1-800-966-1039 and dial the whole number, even if you're local. Yep. You have to dial 1-800-966-1039.
And interestingly enough, you know, Bob and I have been doing the show for many years, and I had no idea what our broadcast pattern was. Somebody asked me that, who was going to be a guest on the show in September, said, you know, what kind of listenership do you have? And I said, well, we have a pretty bunch of good loyal listeners. We don't know how many. But John Shields told me that we cover 14 of the 15 counties in the state.
And John Shields is?
He's the program director for the station.
Yeah. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
We also went to Canada because we've had calls from New Brunswick.
Yep.
We've had calls from New Hampshire. We've had calls from the sea, ocean.
That's right.
With people out in a boat.
Yeah, you bet.
Yep. And from Aroostook County.
Okay. Are we ready there, Scotty?
Not quite. He's still dialing here.
Still dialing.
He'll take care of the trivia winner.
Oh, yeah. He's a busy guy. I know.
Only one phone line.
I know. The one phone line, he's multitasking.
Or one phone, but several lines.
Oh, okay.
Does it take a clear night to get radio coverage? A clear night or a cloudy night?
I don't think it matters with FM.
Doesn't matter?
No, I don't think with FM it matters. Yeah.
They're pretty powerful here on 103.9.
They are. And, again, 14 of the 15 counties in Maine get Maine Outdoors, so I think that's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
And you're listening to us on WVOM tonight, and there are three stations within the network, 101.3, 103.9 Bangor, 95.1 FM in Rockland on the Voice of Maine.
And the computer.
Yes, sir. They can listen to our show online on a podcast by going to WVOM.com.
Yes.
Okay, are you there, Judy?
I'm here.
Good evening, and welcome to Maine Outdoors. It's a pleasure. We're proud to have you share the airwaves with us tonight, Judy.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure. And in the studio, my co-host Bob Lehman is here, who may
Hi,
have
Judy.
A question
nice
for you.
Nice to talk to you, dear.
Hello.
Hello.
And my wife, Diane, Judy, is also here. She's my chauffeur. She drove me in here tonight. She may have a question.
You guys have a full house.
You bet.
Yeah.
Let's start, Judy. Again, congratulations. How long have you actually been on the job?
It's
January 4th. January 4th. Okay, so you've got about 6 months or so. How's it going so far for you?
Fabulous. I love it.
You like your job, huh?
Wonderful job.
Yeah.
I do, yeah.
Yeah. Is it everything is everything you thought it would be?
It is, yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, it is, and then a lot more.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things I do that I, you know, it hadn't occurred to me that I would be doing.
Just so you'll know, we have a whole bunch of questions we'd like to put to you, and we'll have a computerized break here in a few minutes, and then we'll get right to back to you again, and we'll be with you till 8, if that's
okay. And we have several callers will come in and ask questions as well.
Yes, sir. We may have some calls come in, Judy. For the benefit of those who may not know you, could you give our listeners just a little brief on your background, how you happened to wind up being the commissioner?
Sure. So I started my career. I studied wildlife biology in college, and I worked for Maine Audubon for about 11 years. And at Audubon, I mostly focused on. Oh, sorry. I thought you asked me a question. I did a lot of environmental education, teaching people about nature, leading trips all over the Northeast, primarily around birding and. I did a few bird migration research projects, bird banding projects. After about 11 years, I left Audubon and moved over to the state for Fish and Wildlife in 2007 as the assistant regional biologist in the Gray office. And shortly after I moved to the Gray office, I just knew in my heart that I ultimately wanted to be commissioner. I just didn't know how you got there.
Oh, no kidding. Now, that's interesting. Usually people don't confess that, but you really aspired to the top job.
Well, in fact, I had Commissioner Woodcock in my truck one day, and he asked me, where do you want to be in 10 years? And being the naive person I was, I said, well, I want your job. And he almost fell out of the seat or out of the truck, and he sort of slammed his hand down on the front, and he laughed, and he was like, wow. And I don't think he was so surprised that I would want that job, but mostly that I would tell him, like, I want your job, guy. To his face, I thought he was a little surprised by that. But he suggested that I would consider promoting to the Augusta office, where I would have more opportunity to kind of learn about policy and that sort of stuff. So I did. At the sort of first opportunity I had, I applied for the special projects position that probably a lot of your listeners remember. Sandy Ritchie had that job for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I work with Sandy. Okay.
And so I took that job, and within 6 months of being in the Augusta office, John Boland, our bureau director at the time, retired, and Jim Connolly was promoted to the bureau director, I was promoted to the wildlife director.
Run all applicants by HR first.
Well, that was a short break. I never heard such a short break, but that's good. You still there, Judy?
Yes, I'm here. Yes.
Okay, nice to have you with us. And again, I apologize for the abrupt interruption there. No. Usually we have what they call segue music, and I never heard the segue music, so I'm not sure what happened. Anyway.
Hold. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Judy, do you have your radio on? No, okay, because I could hear a delayed signal in the background, so I didn't know if you had a radio on.
Yeah, okay, if you do have, if you had a radio on, it would create part of that problem. Judy.
No, I know better.
Okay, good. To start out here, I want to ask you, are you familiar with the article that was in the Bangor Daily about the catch and release controversy?
I have actually been away on vacation for the past 10 days, so I'm vaguely familiar with the content, but no, I haven't seen the article myself, but I did work to get a little briefing on it.
Well, I thought it was kind of interesting because I've written about this in the past, and I know long before the story came out in the Press Herald about maybe there's too much catch and release, I think fisheries biologists have told me that there are situations in some ponds where you shouldn't have catch and release. That we need to take some of those fish out of the pond in order for the other fish to grow larger. And anyway, in the Bangor Daily Saturday, John Holyoke, who's the outdoor writer up here, wrote a story basically supporting a contention that was made by Bob Mallard that the department is on some kind of a mission to discredit catch and release as an ethic. So, I mean, I know that's not true, but would you like to address that?
Certainly, yeah. Absolutely, the department is not on a mission to discredit catch and release. And in fact, I personally spoke with Emily Bastian, one of Bob's volunteers, and was quite clear that under no circumstance would I ever support a proposal that would require people to to harvest, and I would always have the option to put a fish back.
But isn't it common sense that you have to take pond by pond?
There are certainly some water bodies that have good recruitment, they have good nursery areas, they have really good habitat, and there's a lot of fish, and it would be beneficial to harvest those fish to help prevent disease spread, to allow the fish to grow bigger. There are other water bodies that don't have as good spawning areas, they don't have as good habitat, and they don't produce as much fish. And so in those areas, we would be more supportive of catch and release. Our fisheries biologists make those determinations on a water body by water body basis. But certainly we are not opposed to catch and release. It's an appropriate management tool in some water bodies, and in other water bodies, we generally recommend harvest, but would never mandate it.
So you wouldn't be upset if Bob Lehman and Paul Reynolds caught a couple of trout for the pan, right?
No, absolutely not.
Right. Thank you very much. Right.
Well, maybe it was much ado about nothing, but it certainly got us talking about it. And I think Bob and I, we're fishermen and we follow all of these issues. But one of the points. Yeah. That Holyoke made in his column, I think, is erroneous, but maybe you can clear that up. I'm not sure. But in his column, he said that the Fish and Wildlife Department is responsible for the togue in Moosehead Lake, and Bob and I believe that they're native to Moosehead Lake, aren't they?
That is the question we'll have to get from Francis, the fisheries director.
Yeah.
And I could not answer that question.
Yeah.
It likely happened before my lifetime.
Yeah, Bob and I would bet a Snickers bar that it's not true.
Yes,
that they've been native there and
absolutely,
and they were there when.
Well, I mean, we get accused of all kinds of things, and some of them we do have done, and some of them are just crazy.
You're right. Now you've been on the job since January, and I think I mentioned this to you once before, having worked with Commissioner Bucky Owen. I know that that your job can be a pressure cooker, and I know that 90% of the sportsmen think they know how to be commissioner. So have you come to that point now where you realize that it's not an easy job, or that there's so many conflicting pressure points that sometimes you just don't know which way to go?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think, similar to Bucky Owen, at least I have, my background is in biology. And so as wildlife director, you know, I had a lot of experience with, in particular with moose, where every hunter in the state thinks that they could do a better job managing moose than the department has.
Right.
That's not a new concept to me.
Yeah.
Same with deer, you know.
Yeah.
And I used to, you know, it's like one of the few professions where everybody thinks that they're the expert, and that's fine. People are passionate. They spend a lot of time outside. They have ideas, and I'm open to listening to them. But I guess I have been surprised at how many people I meet with to talk about their ideas. And they're all quite different.
Oh, yeah, you bet, yeah.
But, yeah, I spend a good deal of time just making myself available to listen to folks and have conversations about what they'd like to see us doing. And,
well, I'm amazed that you really wanted the job, and I think that's commendable.
Why wouldn't you? It's the best job on the planet. I mean, I love the agency. I love the people I work for and the mission. Why wouldn't you want to lead it?
Yeah. Well, that's true. What do you think is the most important quality of a leader in your position? What's the biggest challenge?
I think the most important quality, that's a good question. I think my job as a leader is to try and inspire our staff and our constituents to try and appreciate people and their perspectives, to listen to diverse opinions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the most important things I do is make sure that everybody around me is smarter than me, is hire really good people. that make me look great.
You bet.
No, but seriously, we have outstanding staff at the department, and I rely on them.
Okay. Do we have any callers standing by, Scotty, for questions?
Yes, we do.
All right. Do you mind taking questions, Judy? We have a caller lined up.
Sure.
All right, let's take a caller. Good evening. You're on Maine Outdoors with Commissioner Judy Camuso. Go ahead.
Yes. I'm from up in Adamsconis, Maine. And I was two questions, I guess I have. What is your stand on firearm control registration, including ARs? And the other question was on bear baiting. We almost lost that to a referendum. I think people ought to trust the biologists, and I think their recommendations should be law and not let the general public in southern Maine make these decisions. What's going on in northern Maine, which they really know nothing about. I'll get off the air and let you answer those questions, ma'am. And congratulations on your appointment.
Thanks so much. The firearms issue, you know, really that, you know, my position is that we will support whatever regulations, the rules and regulations are in place. Obviously, the vast majority of the harvest that we oversee, you know, or a good portion of it is through the use of firearms. And so it's important, Second Amendment right is very important to us in the agency. But I probably won't say any more than that. The bear baiting issue, you know, for certain, and people probably maybe aren't aware of this, but I was the spokesperson for the department during the referendum. And so certainly I support the department having a full suite of management tools needed to, you know, to keep the bear at a healthy, sustainable, manageable level. And so I think a lot of people will remember some of the debate and controversy around that. But certainly I was pretty out front and center doing my best to make sure people understood the implications of that referendum should it have passed, but also making sure that the department maintained its authority to regulate that hunt. And obviously bear baiting makes up the vast majority of the way bears are hunted. 83% of the harvest comes from bait. So certainly that is a tool that we absolutely support and will continue to support.
I think, Judy, did she answer your question, caller? I guess you hung up. A natural segue to that question, I think, or a follow-up would be, if the anti-bear hunting folks make another run at us and they focus more and they come after us hounds and bear trapping, are you prepared to defend that? Is your department prepared to go to bat to defend that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my personal feeling is the department needs to maintain all the tools available to us
to ensure that we can manage the bear population or any population at what I call socially acceptable and a healthy population level. And so although it's a small percentage of animals that are harvested through the use of trapping or dogs, it's still important to the overall population control or management. And until, you know, that we will continue to do everything we can to ensure that we have those tools available to us.
All right. Thank you. We have another caller, right, Scotty?
Yes, I believe we do.
Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors with Commissioner Judy Camuso. Go ahead.
Hi, yes. Hi, Commissioner Judy.
Hi.
As a non-expert, but as an expert in buying a fishing license and hunting license,
yes.
Here's one thing I would like to suggest is that if you could streamline and simplify the fishing regulations. I'm a hiker and a fisherman. Mm-hmm. And you hike from pond to pond and stream to stream. And you can, you just like to, you know, use your fishing pole and catch some trout or catch whatever. And there's the myriad laws and the complicated laws discourages someone from doing that. And sometimes I don't even want to buy a fishing license because, you know, I'm just so tired of, like, looking through each regulation and studying the maps and trying to figure out exactly where we are. And if you could just simplify the fishing regulations, I think that would – I'm not blaming you, of course – but I just think if you could go in that direction, that would be a great thing.
Sure. So the department has heard that request, and we, I think, have made great strides towards reducing that. I'm not going to say that it's simple, but I think we have reduced the complexity, and the rule that just passed, the no live fish at bait in the northern part of the state, I think is going to go a long way to simplifying that. But the other thing is that we do have a new regulations mapper. So basically it's a web portal.
I didn't understand.
It's a regulations mapper.
Okay.
It's like a regulations map. And so you can go on, and if you have cell service, you can actually pull it up on your phone, and it'll figure out, use your GPS
location. I like to hike with my fishing pole and some lure, you know, so I don't really want to use the computer to figure out where to go fishing. I understand your example. I don't really want to use a computer to figure out where I can catch a 6-inch fish or a 7-inch fish or what lure I can use. That I think that's my point, is that I don't want to go into the I'd like to go into the 19th century to go fishing, I guess.
Well, yeah, I hear you, but we're not in the 19th century.
Right.
So, you know, we are trying to simplify the rules. And you don't have to bring the computer with you. You can download the map. I mean, you can download the maps, and you can click on it, and it'll pop up all the regulations for that water body. So every water body has the regulations on it, and so you can download it and, you know, stick it in with your license for the areas you're going to be fishing in. But, you know, part of the struggle is that as the request and the desire for more expansive fishing opportunity continues to grow, with that comes more regulation so that we can make sure that we're able to have good fisheries for folks.
Here's my challenge to that. As you become more complicated, I think you're going to sell fewer fishing licenses, which funds your department. That's my guess.
That has, you know, there's a valid suggestion there. It hasn't borne out yet in Maine. We hear this request all the time. We are working on it. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. The fishery staff have been working diligently to try and reduce the complexity of the fishing regulations, and they are paring those down. But it is a process that the staff is working on. They're trying to make it as simple as possible. I understand people's frustration. I agree that the rules are complicated, and I assure you we're working to make them more simple.
Okay, I'm just going to use.
All right, thank you, caller. We're going to cut you off, so we'll make room for other folks. Okay. Good questions. Good hiking to you, and good fishing. Appreciate your call, Judy. We're going to take a real short break here. Bob Lehman is going to do a short commercial, and we appreciate you standing by. We'll be right back to you in just a second, Judy. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, Bob. The General Appliance in Brewer, and I'm going to ask Paul a question right here. Well, they also sell, you know, compost toilets.
Yes, sir, they
do. That's their number one seller over there,
right?
Besides a lot of other appliances. They also sell gas appliances and, as you know, electric appliances. But their compost toilets sell very well. And as you know, they are all natural. And as they compost things, just needs a handful of peat moss, a little wood fiber, which is included in the sale, and once or twice a season is typical when you put that amount of items in there. And it's really an amazing thing. You don't need any power, no propane, no batteries, and no plug-in. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
That's amazing. That's great. Have you ever used one?
Many times, yeah.
Yeah, me too. It's an amazing thing. Now, he's having a sale over there right now.
Is he, yeah?
At General Appliance in Brewer, yep. And they are $1,700 as a rule, but we get $200 all is off if you buy them before September 1st.
All right.
And
General
so the
Appliance
number to call
in Brewer.
989-4341.
All right. Thank you, sir. Yep. And are you still there, Judy?
I am.
We've got a cricket in the background. I don't know where that's coming from. I have no idea. Yeah. I guess the engineer can't figure
it
out.
No, we can't. It's...
We don't know. Okay.
All right. I have a headset on, so let me see if I...
Oh, maybe that's it.
I'm not sure that's causing it. I'm not sure.
It shouldn't be.
We don't know where it's coming
from. Does she have a radio on in the background?
No, she does not.
Yeah.
Okay. A couple of other questions.
It's gone.
I think that was a headset.
It was.
Yeah. I'll be doggone. Yeah.
It's gone.
Okay. Well, thank you, Judy. That's better. Wanted to ask you a couple of questions here. Do you have any goals during your term right now? Do you have any long range goals?
It's a great question, and I'm just laughing because that's what I talk about all the time. It's kind of my goals and objectives for agency in the next 4 to 8 years. So we are going to go through just undertaking a certain process so that we can.
She's breaking up.
I'm breaking up.
Yeah,
it's breaking up.
I don't know what's happened. We're getting a much better signal. You on a cell phone, Judy?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I can hear you now. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah. Go
All
ahead.
All right. I'll stay in this very exact spot.
Okay.
So we are working on a strategic plan so that we can have some very clear goals, measurable goals and objectives for the agency. Some of the things that I want to focus on are recruiting and retaining new hunters to the state. So recruit, retain, reactivate hunters throughout the state. And it's no surprise, I just was at a conference nationally, the percentage of hunters has declined in the past 20 years from 7% to 4%. So, you know, one of the things I would like to do is to try and at least stabilize that. In Maine, we haven't not been subjected to such a drastic decline. But, you know, we want to make sure that we stem the decline of hunters. And for me, it's multifold. You know, the last caller alluded to the fact that the hunting and fishing licenses bring in a lot of revenue pay for the vast majority of what the agency does.
Right.
And so there's that component of it, but is also a component of it in that hunting is the management tool that we use to keep populations, wildlife populations, at healthy levels so that they are tolerated by the public. So everybody wants, we know from all kinds of surveys that everybody wants healthy wildlife. They want to see healthy wildlife. So we want, our goal is to make sure we are ensuring healthy wildlife populations, and then we want the public to be satisfied with the wildlife that they're seeing. So once we don't have as many hunters and the population starts to increase for those animals, probably going to start seeing less healthy wildlife and they're going to become more of a nuisance. So, you know, people are going to have more animals in their garden and all the kind of issues that, you know, come to mind when you think of overpopulation of any particular game species. So there's a lot of reasons why, beyond just the money.
But I think if you bring the deer back, I think the hunters will follow, don't you?
Oh, certainly in northern Maine, yeah. There's no question that in parts of southern Maine, we all have too many deer. So there's a swing of overpopulation not as many as we used to have up north. But so recruiting and retaining hunters, and for me in particular, I do want to focus on recruiting new women to the sport and to the activity. I myself am a new hunter, and of our hunting public, only 13% are women, but we're 50% of the population. So that's a pretty easy kind of niche right there to try and get more women involved. And
so are you new into hunting?
Yes,
I am. Yeah. I just got my first turkey this spring.
Oh, good for you! Hey, congratulations.
I've been deer hunting for a few years, but never successful. Yeah. Never. Oh, never good, shot good at you. Anything, yeah. But. I did harvest my first turkey this spring. So, you know, and for me, it's a organic, free range. It's like the best kind of protein.
Organic and so, meat, right.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. We have another caller standing by, Judy. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors with Commissioner Judy Camuso. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, he must have hung up. I've got another one that's coming in now.
Okay. We're going to have another caller here in just a second. Can I ask you this question? What's the toughest decision you've had to make since you've been on the job?
Oh, well, probably nothing I can talk about.
Nothing you can talk about. That's always the case.
That's not confidential.
Right.
All right. Probably a personnel matter of some kind. I guess you can slap me for asking that question. I shouldn't have done it. Yeah. Diane told me to go easy on you tonight, so I guess I just shouldn't
have. No, don't do that.
All right.
I just don't put her on the spot.
No, I wouldn't do that. One of the things I wanted to mention to that lad who called, who challenged you pretty well, and I would like to just have you know how I feel about it. I'm sure Bob agrees that, you know, it is frustrating sometimes. I fish with my son up in some trout ponds, and pond to pond, the regulations change, and you gotta spend your time reading the book. But the good part of it is that this fellow may not be aware of is that This tight management of brookies has been very successful, Judy. Amazing. It's really working well, isn't it, Bob?
Oh, very well, yeah. We have a lot more native fish, I think, than we've had for a long time.
Yeah, you guys are doing a good job when it comes to the trout fishery.
Francis and the fishery staff will be so pleased.
Yeah, they're doing a fabulous job. We have a caller. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors with Judy Camuso.
Yeah, I was just wondering if she had any statement on the investigation down to the country music concert with the warden.
Absolutely not. No, we don't comment on any active investigations.
Okay, any other questions, caller?
No, I was just wondering. That's twice they've got in trouble at the concert.
Okay, thank you, caller. Appreciate it. Okay, did you have a question?
I think there's another warden's exam coming right up, isn't there, Judy? I think so.
There is a hiring process, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, we have the phones are still ringing, right? Okay. Judy, is there anything you would like to say to our many sports people listening right now?
Oh, I just want to say thank you to everybody. I've had just such a tremendous outpouring of support and help. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure people know that my door is open and I am eager to meet with people. I've been trying to get around all around the state to get out and meet with people. And if people have meetings they want me to attend or come to speak at, please let me know and we'll try and accommodate that. And I just want to thank everybody for their help and support so far and let me know when I start.
Okay. We have a call. We may be able to squeeze in one more call here before we shut down. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors with Judy Camuso.
Hi, Commissioner Brian Smith. How are you?
Hey, Brian. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Just wondering if you have any updates that you might be able to share pertaining to the dams at West Grand Lake and East Grand Lake. Obviously, a lot of controversy going on here in Washington County about them. And if you can't, that's fine.
I can comment on the West Grand and let you know kind of where that's at. And so the, you know, FERC order came out, so the Federal Regulatory Commission ordered the within paper there, within pulp, to pull the lift, and so we did file a request to have that motion stayed so that we could work with the tribes to kind of come up with a plan that would prevent that from happening. They denied that request, so they did go forth and pull that dam. So our fishery staff is working with Woodland and the tribes now to try and come up with a long-term fisheries management plan whereby we could have sort of maintain the fisheries there and protect the security of our hatchery there as well. So, but at this point, you know, the FERC order is a federal agency, so I don't know how we can change order, but we can try and manage fisheries through the fisheries management plan that was mandated in that FERC order. So,
I think we're just about out of time, Judy, and thank you, caller. We appreciate it. We could have done 2 hours tonight, Judy. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us, and we hope you'll come back and talk to us again.
Oh, thanks so much. It was so much fun. I appreciate the invitation.
All right, and congratulations to you, and you're doing a great job, and we'll keep an eye on you. All right.
Good luck with your hunting.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, Judy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Good night.
Bye-bye. All right, we appreciate that. That was Judy Camuso, the Commissioner of Fish and Wildlife, and we could have done a couple hours, but we didn't. And don't forget, next week, the Champion Moose Calera, right here on
Maine Outdoors.